Jesus, one might say callously, responds to her request by saying, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Immediately, we want to rescue Jesus from this cold response by dismissing it as a test or some sort of translation miscue that softens the statement. I say no. Jesus said what he said, and he meant it, and we should hold him to it. What might be prudent on our part, however, is to go a bit deeper. It's always a good idea for the scripture reading Christian to go a bit deeper. A traditional answer to the question of why Jesus answers her so is he's not actually refusing her, but rather testing her. That is the rebuff, the insult, the rejection. These aren't real, but rather the means by which to test the woman's faith, to see if she really, really believes in him. And of course, she passes. The trouble with this interpretation of the woman being tested is, number one, nothing like it occurs anywhere else in the Gospel of Mark. Number two, there is no mention of testing in this story. Number three, it creates a rather cold-hearted picture of a God who taunts and tests us in our deepest moments of need. If not this interpretation, then what? Why on earth, that is, would Jesus react to someone in need in such a harsh manner? As callous as his response was to her, I think Jesus was elevating this woman's status. Yes. Now, doesn't this sound more like the Jesus we know? Doesn't the thought of Jesus finding an outsider, an outcast, someone who is seen by his religious culture as a lesser human, then elevating that person's identity and humanity to be on par with his? I think it does. Jesus invites this woman, a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, into a rabbinic dialogue. You see, rabbis argued. It's how they discussed the meaning and interpretation of Scripture and of God's deeds of power. Jesus invites her. If he didn't care for her at all, he would have blown her off completely. But he doesn't do this. Rather, he invites her into a special kind of dialogue. At first glance, Jesus is being cold and callous, indeed illustrating the prevailing mindset that Jewish men would have towards such an outsider, an outcast, a lesser human. He is, in effect, telling her no, right? Because what he has to offer is for the house of Israel alone, God's chosen, those who will hear his teachings and his voice, that Israel will be restored to God. Why would he waste his time on someone who doesn't share that faith? What is this woman really after? Is she really seeking out the Son of God, the Anointed One, to heal her daughter? Or is she just desperate and looking for a quick fix? I don't know if Jesus was exactly thinking this way, but obviously there was hesitation in Jesus' willingness to help this woman. One of my favorite biblical commentators, David Lowe, shares that perhaps, just perhaps, Jesus had not yet realized the full extent of God's mission or the radical nature of the kingdom he proclaimed. We may find this a somewhat uncomfortable conclusion to reach. We want to think of Jesus as full-bodied, perfect, and immutable from birth, right? But if we were to take Mark's narrative seriously, never mind the incarnational and creedal affirmation that Jesus is fully human as well as fully divine, then perhaps we should not be surprised to see a development in Jesus' own recognition of God's vision for the world. After all, the profoundly expansive notion of a kingdom that included everyone, no exceptions, was completely and totally novel. And unfortunately, in many places, it still is. If so, If we could imagine that this woman didn't simply pass a clever test, but instead, and as Jesus himself says, demonstrated profound faith, then we might acknowledge that this brave mother actually taught the teacher something, and therefore might have some things to teach us as well. Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Such a profound statement, I think, should teach us all something. It should teach us something about ourselves and our own faith. It should teach us something about the stranger and those in need. And it should certainly teach us something about God's grace and the great need all of us have for just a morsel of it. We are surrounded by those who would beg for such grace. And indeed, as we come together in this beautiful, air-conditioned, comfortable church, seeking comfort in our own lives, there are thousands out there right now, surely pleading to God, to whomever will listen, for just a little grace, just a little relief. Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. The present Syrian refugee crisis is beyond anything we have witnessed since World War II. Images of fleeing families with no homes to return to. Refugee camps filled with career-venturing Syrian and other Middle Eastern workers and professionals, driven out from violence and the fear of death to find new homes to resettle. The images of fear-stricken families, hungry children, and yes, even the most heart-wrenching of all, if you've seen it, the Turkish policeman carrying the lifeless body of a child who washed up on shore. We know that the cries of the parents and families are filled with exasperation for just a crumb of God's goodness, a morsel of God's grace. The good news is that churches in our diocese are involved in helping with this crisis. And I'm here to tell you that you will hear of ways that you can help as well. We've looked into some things that even we at St. Christopher's can help with that problem. Yes, even across an ocean, we are able to do something, and we should. In the meantime, we pray. Right now, prayer is the most powerful weapon we have. May our prayers open our hearts and our lives to all those who are in despair, like this brave outsider and mother that we hear about in Mark's gospel. How appropriate it is today that we bless the ministry of the daughters of the King. The daughters hold each of us in prayer, as well as our families, the leadership of the church, and those in our communities, and even those across the ocean. May they, through their prayers, and with ours as well, bring a sense of God's presence and grace to all those in need. Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. If you've never read the book, The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning, I highly recommend it. The Ragamuffin Gospel is filled with stories of God's grace. Brennan recounts an old story about Fiorello LaGuardia, who was New York City mayor during the worst years of the Great Depression. He tells the story that at one cold night in January of 1935, the mayor turned up at a night court that served the poorest ward of the city. LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening and took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her. Her daughter was sick, and her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper, from whom the bread was stolen, refused to drop the charges. "It's a bad neighborhood, Your Honor," the man told the mayor. "She's got to be punished, to teach other people around here a lesson." LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 or 10 days in jail. But even as he pronounced sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. He extracted a bill and tossed it into his famous sombrero, saying, "Here is the $10 fine which I now remit. And furthermore, I am going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." So the following day, the New York City newspapers reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of that amount being contributed by the red-faced grocery store owner himself. While some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and even New York City policemen, each of whom had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, gave the mayor a standing ovation. What an extraordinary moment of grace for anyone present in that courtroom. The grace of God operates at a profound level in the life of a loving person. Oh, that we would recognize God's grace when it comes to us. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Just a little of what Jesus offers changes lives. I repeat this statement that the Syrophoenician woman responded with to Jesus because it is a statement of victory. It really is. As I said, Jesus may have seen an outsider in his midst, but he invited her into a conversation, literally a rabbinic conversation that was an argument. The argument that rabbis commonly bantered with. And she won the argument. The woman was invited into an argument with Jesus. And she won the argument. This non-Jewish, non-male nobody wins the argument with the great teacher and master. And Jesus has no problem with it. Immediately, her daughter is healed. Jesus invites the least likely of all people into relationship with him and restores all people to God by his grace and favor. And we are called as well to invite the least likely of all people into this fellowship of believers. It is only when we open up ourselves, both as individuals and as a congregation, to the other, that we become the viable, healthy, robust people of God that Jesus calls us to be. Elsewhere in Mark's gospel, Jesus says that only those who give away their lives will find it. I think that's true both in our individual and congregational experience. And I think Jesus first learned just how true that is from this fiercely loving mother. May we too recognize, celebrate, and give thanks for the extraordinary grace that God offers to us through Jesus, and the least likely, through whom the Spirit chooses. Amen.